This show contains language and themes that may be considered offensive to some. Please use your best judgment about whether or not you should be listening. Hello and welcome to Deliberate Noise. I'm your host, Derek Coward. Deliberate Noise can be found at www.deliberatenoise.com. You go there, you see that there's a whole bunch of different banners and first shows that you can click on. You click on any of the ones that you want to. And if you decide to click on Deliberate Noise, then you'll find all the show notes for this particular episode. This is going to be a kind of one that may get a little bit of mixed reaction. I know that a lot of people don't like it when I play the lo-fi music. For example, the music of Uncle Owen, Aunt Beru, but I like it. I've always liked lo-fi music. There's something kind of beautiful about the thought of a musician, an instrument, and a little portable recorder making songs that may, quite frankly, never be heard by another human being. You know, I kind of like that. You know, it's the whole DIY mentality, you know. But I know that it's not for everybody, but it is for me. So there's going to be a lot of it on this particular episode. In fact, all of the music that I'm going to be playing tonight is from a single band. I don't usually do this, but I really like this. I like this whole concept. It's from the Free Music Archive. There is a band called the Diskettes. And back in 2005, they did a show called Phoning It In. It's something out of California. And the way I understand it is a DJ calls up the musicians and they have over-the-phone performances. And I kind of like it. So anyway, I'm going to come at the end. I'm going to tell you all it was. I may throw another song in there, maybe something by Billy Childish. So yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have three songs by the Diskettes because I really like their sound. And a couple of songs from Billy Childish, also with this whole lo-fi phoning it in type deal. And in the meantime, in between songs, I'm going to have a bunch of different sound clips that I have recorded, but for some reason have just never used. Hopefully you'll like it. If not, there's always next episode.
Don't let me down. Don't let me down. Don't let me down. When I am lost, I can't be found.
To go pick up Steven from school, and you know, I don't usually record on the way to pick him up from school because it's so close. However, I had this whole episode planned out earlier today, because it occurred to me that I haven't bought lottery tickets in a while. And first off, let me preface it by saying that anybody who claims that the lottery is a tax on the stupid, those are usually pretentious assholes who can go fuck themselves. Because, number one, I never thought that way, you know, for one great big reason. It's my money. You know, I can spend my money on whatever it is I want to. And 9 times out of 10, the people who use that whole tax on the stupid thing, they spend their money on also dumb shit. You know? So, I mean, what's the difference between me spending $1 on a lottery ticket or you spending $1 on some ho-hos or some candy bars or some shit like that? You know? At the... Because we put it like this. 12 hours later, I may not have my dollar and I may not have any more dollars. But I'm pretty sure you're not going to still have that... That ho-ho or that Twinkie or whatever it is you shove down your gullet. And if you're one of those people who eats healthy and yet still think it's a tax on the stupid, really take a look at what you spend your money on, you know. I'm pretty sure you got some pretty dumb shit there that you're also buying. However, I didn't want to get off all on that. When things are going really good for me, I don't mind, you know, spending a couple of dollars a week, you know, or a month or however, to buy a lottery ticket, you know. Because to me, it's showing, number one, I can, you know, I have the money. But number two, I'm also hoping for something better. Yet... lately, when I haven't been buying, it's not because I can't afford it. You know, I can afford at least $1 a week, you know, $2 a week, who cares? It's just that there's really not a whole lot of hope out there, you know? The presidential candidates are both running on, you know, hope for the future, hope for change, you know, that kind of stuff. But where I'm at, there's no hope. You know, businesses are going under very quickly. And if this GM Chrysler merger goes through, and all indications are that it will, you're talking about another 30,000 people out of work nationwide, and the vast majority of them will be in this area. You know, there's nothing to look forward to. You know, I saw 2 new for sale signs go up in my neighborhood. You know, it's just really a hopeless situation, you know. And when I was going to work every day and I was miserable and I was spending $1 to get the lottery ticket, you know, I'd run through my head little fantasies, you know, of how life could be better. And I'll tell you right now, it's not just a big case of me going out and buying a bunch of big screen TVs for each room in a house. You know, I start making a list of people who I'd want to, you know, employ for pretty much not doing anything, you know, take care of my friends. But lately, it's just like there's just no hope. You know, why bother? I don't even find comfort in my fantasy world. You know, it's just, you know, go to sleep. Let's get this day over with. There's another one coming up pretty soon, you know. However, that was before I answered the phone earlier today, and I might have a job interview tomorrow. So, who knows? Things may be looking up. Well, I've arrived here to pick up Steven. So, I hope that you'll be back for the next episode. And hopefully it won't be so fucking great. Now here comes the bad weather. Anyway, see you next episode. Every year, I'll say every year for like the last 6 or 7 years, maybe even going back farther than that, I get an upper respiratory infection every single year. And it starts off something small, like with a kind of a scratchy throat, you know, no big deal. And then it gets all in my chest, so that breathing is like breathing in sandpaper, and coughing, oh, it feels like I'm coughing up like required body parts, and all that comes out sometimes, if I'm lucky, is this little dot of throat snot. It's just it's miserable. Usually it goes on for a couple of weeks until I finally realize, all right, I have to get to a doctor. And then I'll get to the doctor, he'll give me some antibiotics, and everything is cured within a couple of days, you know. This, however, is the first year that I've had it where I'm unemployed and I don't have health insurance. I can't just take, like, penicillin. So, you know, if other people have penicillin, I can't take that because I'm allergic. Well, I could take it, but then I end up probably getting really sick and dying or something. That kind of defeats the purpose, you know. 1 year, I tried not using antibiotics. Tried to use natural stuff. So it's like every day or every other day, I was going to the health food store to get aloe. They have like aloe juice. Oh, that is some of the most disgusting stuff you'll ever want to drink. Oh my goodness, it is so bitter. So bitter. I mean, they even tell you, you may want to spruce it up with some kind of juice or something. But I'm like, well, I'm going to drink it the way that God and the bottlers intended. So I'm just going to just drink it. Just, you know, drink it straight. No chaser. People at work would watch me drink this stuff and they're like, why are you doing that? Just go to the doctor. And I think that year it actually worked. So instead of like the whole process being 2 weeks, you know, well, I should say 2.5 weeks, 2 weeks of me suffering and a couple of days of me just taking pills and getting better, that one took like almost a month for me to be cured. This time I can feel it happening, so I'm going to try to get on this real quick. This is going to be tough. Anyway, should be having some pretty good news pretty soon. My resume has been in the hands of some people who have expressed interest, which to me means I need to learn PHP really, really quick. May have a paying project that'll come up pretty soon, which makes me, damn it, makes me regret the fact that I didn't get incorporated when I had, you know, the incorporation money. But, you know, that's one thing I really can't talk about, that particular project. So number one, I don't know if I'm going to even get it. And number two, it's for work. And I would rather talk in very general terms about work. You know, I don't want to talk about exactly where I work or exactly who I do work for. So, and pretty much people don't want to hear that shit. Isn't nothing more boring than listening to somebody else talk about work, especially if you don't work with them. You know, because usually when you're at work and people are talking about work, you're either in a meeting or somebody's gossiping. And the gossip is usually always better than the work. I mean, the gossip is usually better than the meeting, which just goes, you know, that's just the way life goes. Anyway, thanks.
Do what you need to do. It must be done. Take your will, make your way. Heart bend and sway. Thank you.
Okay. You can tell. I can tell. I'm really, 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 really sleepy right about now. Right now, I'm waiting for my stepdaughter to get off the bus and walk on home. It's only up on the block, so it's not like I won't be able to see her. But, and I'm pretty sure I mentioned this on the show before, but she has Asperger syndrome. And this is Asperger syndrome that's accompanied with the physical manifestations. Her deal is that she, when she gets excited, she flaps her hands a certain way and she moves her head back and forth a certain way. Anyway, I think most of the kids who know her are used to it, but I just get this bad feeling that somebody's teasing her somewhere, you know? And I don't like that, you know? And while I'm home, I can make sure that she gets off the bus so nobody's picking on her, you know, throwing shit at her or teasing her on the way home, because quite frankly, you got a big, scary looking black guy waiting for you. You're gonna leave her alone real fucking quick, you know what I mean? Anyway, but I can tell I'm sleepy because I was on a website and the question came up. Questions like this normally come up, which is, if you knew you only had one day to live, how would you spend it? You know, which to me is kind of a bullshit question, because there's only so many things you can do in a day, even if you know that you're going to die. But, you know, if they qualify it by saying, if you knew you only had one last day to live and you could do anything, what would you do? To me, that's a little different, right? Now, if I went to the doctor and they told me, well, Derek, tomorrow you're going to die, what do you want to do? What the fuck am I going to do? I'm going to have a good dinner. All the shit that I'm allergic to that I'm not supposed to be eating, that's on the menu. You know, all the shit that I haven't tried, that's on the menu. But if it's one of those things where I could do anything that I want to do, that would be a little different. I would choose to have a party. I mean, you know, if you know you only have what, let's face it, is only a few hours to live, then why wouldn't you have a party? I'd have a party. I'd invite all my friends, you know. I don't know if they'd all come. Because when I'm talking about all my friends, I mean, I'm talking about, you know, if I could have all my friends, I'd have Damien from Australia and Barry and David from the UK and Rich and Iz from the UK, you know, Wales. Heath and Mike and David and Dave. David A. Price and Dave Slusher, you know, I'd have all the guys from this area, you know, all around. That's what I would do. I would want to have one great big ass party just to let everybody who has benefited my life know that, you know, I may be checking out, but the love will still be there, you know. Hell, I think it'd be worth it just to get Bruce Rosenberger and Tim Terrell in the same room. yeah. That's what I would do. But what would you do if you knew you only had one last day and you could do anything? Anything at all? I tell you what I wouldn't do, even though right now it's the one thing that I really want more in the entire world. I wouldn't spend that whole day sleeping. Even though right now I really, really, really want to get some sleep. Here she comes. And thank God she's not wearing that hat. some reason, past couple of days, she's been wearing this red baseball cap. And it's, like, really, the bill is, like, too big for her face, so it, like, covers up her face. I personally don't like it, but number one, you don't tell an 8-year-old girl, nine, you don't tell a 9-year-old girl, you know, don't wear a hat because it looks dumb, because that just opens up a whole barrel of worms that you just might as well go ahead and keep closed, you know. Anyway. She's coming home, and she always looks, you know, I'm not gonna say sad or lonely. She always looks alone, you know. She has a lot of fun with the kids, but I don't know. Anyway, take it easy.
Did you like the beginning of that or not?
I did.
Should be an A, really. You know I love you, baby. Please don't go. You know I love you, baby. Please don't go. Well, well, you know I love you, honey child. There ain't nothing I wouldn't do for you right now. No, I love you, baby. Please don't go. You know I need you, baby. Please don't go. You know I need you, baby. Please don't go. Well, well, you know I need you, honey, child. There ain't nothing I wouldn't do for you right now. No, I need you, baby. Please don't go.
To the show. I'm driving to work, so there may be a lot of ambient sounds that are going on. If you've ever heard a podcast where someone is driving, then you know what to expect. No big, you know, no big deal. Anyway, there's really only two things I want to talk about. One of them completely slipped my mind now, so I'll go on the one that I can't remember what it was. For some reason, and I can't remember what it was, but something got me to thinking about Hulu versus YouTube. For some reason, everybody that I have come across who want to compare these two want to make it like there's just some great big competition between the two. And yeah, there is a competition in terms of eyeballs and hits and all that kind of stuff. But if you look at the two basic makeups of these websites, they're totally different, you know? One of them really stresses content above all, okay? And why not? They're owned by a media company, and that's Hulu. Now, don't get me wrong, I like Hulu. Hulu is how I caught up on Legend of the Seeker, and it's where I first saw the TV show Kings, which is just absolutely phenomenal. I really, really dig that show. Maybe it's because I was brought up in the church that I know a lot of the allegories that they are pointing towards, and that's cool to me. You know, I like that. And they're taking this classic story, and they are not even really putting a present day spin on it, because the whole makeup of their society is different, you know? And I don't know why this isn't getting much more play on sci-fi shows, but I guess it's because there are no really apparent flying cars or stuff like that. But it is a totally different reality, but that's not what I want to talk about. The fact is that Hulu was built simply around displaying content, you know, whereas from the beginning, YouTube was about sharing and about community. In fact, the the way I read it, YouTube was started because of Janet Jackson's tit. The guy was at the Super Bowl party and he saw it, and he went online, and there was no easy way to find this clip. And that's what, you know, got him to thinking, wow, you know what, maybe I should maybe somebody should come up with a way of sharing video. And that's, you know, how YouTube was born, which is cool if it's true. And even if it's not true, it's a hell of a mythology, you know? And so from the beginning, that's what it was about. It was about sharing. It was about connecting with other people. It was about the community. And that's one thing that Hulu, to me, kind of lacks. Yeah, they have the content. And yeah, they like to tout how, you know, watching the latest Heroes or do they have House or Family Guy or something like that is a lot better than watching videos of kittens playing, you know, unless you're into kittens playing. But that's really not the appeal of YouTube, because quite frankly, I can see the pictures, you know, I could see the episodes of Heroes or House or Family Guy or whatever somewhere else in other forms, right? There are some of us who do know how to get that kind of stuff. I'm not saying I'm one of them. I'm just saying that I probably could if I really put my mind to it. But what makes YouTube so fun to take a part of, and at the same time is also the most frustrating part, is the community. Is the YouTube comments. I mean, how many of us have gone to some place and read some of the comments and just like, wow, what a bunch of jackassholes, you know? But at the same time, I also get like this kind of almost perverse pleasure at reading the comments, because I could just like not go and look, But some of them are just so ridiculous, or they're just ridiculous. I've yet to come across an insightful YouTube comment, okay? And I'm fine with that, you know? When I go on comic book message forums, I don't go there so that I can find, you know, some great insight to a book that I haven't read. No, that's what podcasts are for. I go there for the lunacy, you know, and the ridiculousness. And unfortunately, I get a lot of that. And sometimes I don't want it as much as I thought I did, but it's there, you know. And to me, that's what YouTube is like. You know, it's there. It's the community. And even though it's unlike a lot of forums and places like that where, you know, you will come across something and it's written by somebody, and whether for good or for bad, you know who they are, right? You don't really know that with YouTube comments. You know, you may, you know, YouTube video contributors, yeah, some of those people, you know, rise to the top. You know, you'll figure out who they are. But as with most things on the internet, if you got a picture of a cute girl, then yeah, you're gonna rise up to the top a lot quicker than you have a picture of a middle-aged bald-head man. That's just how things go. No problem with that, you know. But Hulu, like I said, I like it, but I like it for an entirely different reason than I like YouTube. I can actually waste more time on YouTube than I can on Hulu, even though there's a lot more to do, you know, conceivably at one sitting on Hulu. Anyway, so I just think that whole argument, Hulu versus YouTube, is just kind of ridiculous. And it's really brought out by people who either have a vested interest in current mainstream media, or people who have pretty much been so far indoctrinated into it that they really can't conceive of things being anything different than the way they have for the past 40 or 50 years. And, you know, some of those, you know, some people like to denigrate and insult those kind of people. I have no problem with that. You know, to each their own. If you are happy with the way things are set up, fine. Just, you know, realize that in 30 years there are going to be a lot of changes that people are going to look back on you as a dinosaur for fighting, you know. And in 30 years, a lot of the changes that people want now are going to be in place, and there are going to be new changes coming around, and people who are, you know, people who think, you know, music should be free, you know, they're going to have a big problem in 30 years when somebody is going to go back around and say, you know what, we've got all this music, maybe people should pay for it. Yeah, I think everybody should pay for it. You know, things have been free for too long, and, you know, crap like that. Stuff's cyclical. It'll come back around. You know, today's pirates are tomorrow's moguls. That's just how shit goes. And one thing that I did find interesting, and I can't remember where I read it, or else I would put a link on it, is that there's someone who, you know, the person who I'm paraphrasing says that he knows, that he's talked to people in the music industry, and the reason that they are fighting so hard now is what everybody thinks is to delay the inevitable, because they know the time will come when they are probably going to have to give away music for free, and then contact websites and what will be the media outlets at that point, whether it's video outlets on YouTube or whatever its successors will be, or podcasts or whatever its successors will be, to actually pay them to feature their music, you know? I mean, it'll be a big change. But the person who quoted his unnamed source, you know, the unnamed person who quoted their unnamed source says, yeah, everybody knows it's going to happen. And they're just trying to put that off as long as possible, make as much money, because eventually that's what it will come down to. I think it'll be funny. I really do. And it'll really open a whole bunch of new sticky wickets, you know? There are people now who are non-commercial with their podcasts. And I wonder how that's going to affect them if they have offers or if they're paid to play certain songs but not others, you know? That's just... to me, that's kind of like the whole advertising and podcasting thing, because it's like, it's kind of like, I guess I have just like I'm of two minds of that. If somebody really wants to pay, why shouldn't they be able to pay? And if somebody wants to take the money, why shouldn't they take the money? At the same time, especially with comic book podcasts, I just think it's kind of weird where some of the people with advertising will make certain people pay, you know. For example, the people who use who have DCBS as a sponsor, they will, you know, DCBS will pay to have a little blurb on the show. I don't know, and I don't know what anybody's contract says. And the only reason I'm bringing them up is because a lot of people go through them. I don't know if they get a discount, if they get free comics, or if they get paid, you know, cash American dollar bills. I don't know, but I'm just bringing them up. So they'll mention that product, or they'll mention certain other products or services for money, and then they'll talk about the stuff that Marvel or DC or Dark Horse or Image puts out, but they'll talk about them for free, you know. That's just always seemed kind of weird to me. Back when Bruce Rosenberger was doing Indie Comic Book Noise, he had an offer from a publisher who wanted to sponsor a show or two. And Bruce was like, why? I don't need the money. You know? In fact, he said, I don't know if you need the money. If you want to, you know, go ahead and work something out. But I don't need the money. If he wants to put together something, I'll be more than happy to talk about it on the show. You know? And that affected me a lot more than I thought it would. Because I remember hearing that and was like, wow. Wow, this is really a podcaster who's turning down free money. And I like that. Anyway, I'm about to get on the freeway, so if I can recall what I was the other thing I wanted to talk about, I'll come back and talk about it. If not, then pretty soon you'll hear Steven going, or whatever the hell he's saying. Take it easy.
Well, I remember all the things I did as a child, Lord, I remember all the things I did as a child. But when I see what they're doing, it's enough to drive me wild. Well, I remember all the things we did in the past, Lord, I remember all the things we did in the past. But you done left me, child, and I don't think it's gonna last. Thank you.
the things that drove me wild. Oh, I remember the dress you wore. All the things that drove me wild. I remember all the things from when you was a child. Well, I remember all the things, all the things I did as a child. Lord, I remember all the things, all the things I did as a child. But when I see what they're doing, it's enough to drive me wild.
Okay, and in case you're wondering, no, I do not remember what it is that I wanted to talk about. However, I would like to point out, I did not realize that the first few sound clips in the show were going to deal with despair, disease, and death. That's why I think I tried to lighten the mood with a little bit of talk about Hulu versus YouTube. Anyway, going all the way back to the beginning, there are three songs by the Diskettes. The first one was Ashcroft Deliver. The second was Come On Over. And last one from them was Do What You Need to Do. Then I switched over to Billy Childish. There was Baby Please Don't Go. I Remember. And this last song, which is going to close everything out, is called Keep Your Lamp Trim and Burning. Excuse me, Keep Your Lamp Trimmed and Burning. Anyway, thanks for listening. This was an experiment where usually I play more music than I talk. But it's a little flip. So anyway, let me know what you think. Send email to Derek@deliberatenoise.com, and I will be back next episode. Thanks.
Keep your lamp
trimmed and burning.
Keep your lamp
trimmed and burning.
Keep your lamp
trimmed and burning.
See what the Lord has done. A sister on you. Money for old rope. A brother's on you.
Keep on worrying.
Brother's on you.
Keep on worrying.
A brother's on you.
Keep on worrying.
See what the Lord has done.
You've been listening to Deliberate Noise. For more details and show notes, please visit www.deliberatenoise.com. You can send any comments and suggestions to feedback@deliberatenoise.com. You can also leave an audio comment by calling 734-274-5919. Thanks for listening, and take it easy.
I did this couple of weeks.